Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are live for Turning Towards Life. It's the 6th of October, 2019. You may be watching who knows how many decades hence, but if you're with us live, thank you for joining us, particularly as we're at an unusual time today. It's going to be hard to say this without laughing, Lizzie, but I am back in the cupboard, and Lizzie is in the room where we've been running our professional coaching course this weekend. So this is the only way we can make it work in this space. And I'm really thrilled that we are finding a way to do this regardless of where we are and what's going on. I want to say welcome to everyone. As we say every week, it is such a thing that so many of you join us, are part of this with us, make it possible for us to do this. Tell other people who you think it might be a gift to, and in one way or another accompany us on this big path that we're walking step by step. So we're glad to have you with us.
So Justin is thrilled because we're here, and I'm thrilled because he's in the cupboard. It's very funny. So I can hear Justin because there's no lid on the cupboard, as you might remember from the last cupboard broadcast. So that's already quite funny, and I think Justin can probably hear me as well. So we've got this hilarious thing going on where it's kind of an arbitrary cupboard rather than an actual cupboard. So it is very wonderful that we're here, and I feel so glad to be bringing this source today as well. I love Neil Gaiman, and I love what he says, and this is something he wrote for his friend's wedding. So he got asked to say something, and he said this, and then everyone came up to him and said, "Where did you get that?" And he said, "Oh, I just wrote it and I just said it. It's the story I read on the internet anyway." And it just feels like a really beautiful thing for us to be talking about today. So thank you for being here and for being in this conversation with us. And thank you to Neil Gaiman for being the person that he is, that he writes such gorgeousness as well. So I'm going to read Justin, and then you do your thing in whatever way you want, as always. So here we go. This is Neil Gaiman speaking at some good friends of his wedding. And he was asked to say a few words. "This is everything I have to tell you about love. Nothing. This is everything I've learned about marriage. Nothing. Only that the world out there is complicated, and that there are beasts in the night and delight and pain. And the only thing that makes it okay sometimes is to reach out a hand in the darkness and find another hand to squeeze and not to be alone. It's not the kisses or never just the kisses. It's what they mean. Somebody's got your back. Somebody knows your worst self and someone and somehow doesn't want to rescue you or send for the army to rescue them. It's not two broken halves becoming one. It's the light from a distant lighthouse bringing you both safely home, because home is wherever you are, both together. So this is everything I have to tell you about love and marriage. Nothing. Like a book without pages or a forest without trees. Because there are things you cannot know before you experience them. Because no study can prepare you for the joys or the trials. Because nobody else's love, nobody else's marriage is like yours, and it's a road you can only learn by walking it, a dance you cannot be taught, a song that did not exist before you began together to sing. And because in the darkness you will reach out a hand, not knowing for certain if someone else is even there, and your hands will meet, and then neither of you will ever need to be alone again. And that's all I know about love."
Thank you, Lizzie. This is very joyful for me to have this source, because Neil is also married to one of my favourite artists in all the world, Amanda Palmer. And as I hear you say his words, I imagine my way into his way of talking about their marriage, which I know so much about how she writes about it from her perspective. Maybe one day we'll bring her side of things into this, her view. "This is everything I have to tell you about love, nothing. This is everything I've learnt about marriage, nothing. Only that the world out there is complicated, and there are beasts in the night, and delight, and pain. And the only thing that makes it okay sometimes is to reach out a hand in the darkness and find another hand to squeeze and not to be alone. It's not the kisses, or never just the kisses. It's what they mean. Somebody's got your back. Somebody knows your worst self and somehow doesn't want to rescue you or send for the army to rescue them. It's not two broken halves becoming one. It's the light from a distant lighthouse bringing you both safely home, because home is wherever you are, both together. So this is everything I have to tell you about love and marriage. Nothing. Like a book without pages or a forest without trees. Because there are things you cannot know before you experience them, because no study can prepare you for the joys or the trials. Because nobody else's love, nobody else's marriage is like yours. And it's a road you can only learn by walking it, a dance you cannot be taught, a song that did not exist before you began together to sing. And because in the darkness, you will reach out a hand, not knowing for certain if someone else is even there, and your hands will meet. And then neither of you will ever need to be alone again. And that's all I know about love.
It's so beautiful to hear that. I feel, Justin, like it's there's an undoing in this poem, this reading, this piece of writing. I feel like in my life I've had a kind of a notion of what it means to be married and committed to another person, and some kind of fixedness has been part of that. Like, oh well, once you get married, it's like something concrete happens or something. And in a way, that's true. But my lived experience of being someone who's married someone is this: it's that it's a every moment, every day, to every week practice of being with someone. And that the gifts of it and the trials of it are not something that are fixed at all. It's a living, breathing, alive somethingness that we're tending. And the way Neil writes, I can feel the reality for me in it. I can feel the parallel with my own experience of it doesn't fix anything or make anything right or something, but there's all of this beauty in it of reaching out the hand in the dark and feeling like home. And it doesn't mean there isn't difficulty or trials or all kinds of things, but there's something very in-hopening for me in what Neil writes, because it means that to look at marriage like this means that there's something natural that's unfolding in a relationship, rather than we're supposed to have ourselves together and be happy and fine and everything's okay. It doesn't mean that. It means to be married means that we're in something together, in a life together, and that life is just as unpredictable as another piece of life. And I feel really glad to be like received in a way by the way Neil Gaiman writes about it, because it is just an adventurous kerfuffle of domestically shenaniganing around with another person in a building. And of course we're just about to embark on having another person join our building as well, with this baby coming along, and who knows what it's going to be like, what's going to happen, who we're going to be. And to be allowed to be organic, to be allowed to be growing and discovering rather than have it all together or something and it all be fixed in some way. And just to kind of undo that expectation, undo that thing, feels really validating to me.
Yes, and to me too. And I wonder, this is a conversation you and I have had many times, what I'm about to say. And in fact, I'm remembering sitting in this very cupboard the last time we did this conversation from here. We were talking about trees. And we got into a conversation about how trees, like people, are not a thing, but a process. And it seems to me that so much of our suffering in relationships with other humans, particularly the most intimate of relationships, or those any relationship where we declare a long-term commitment ahead of time without knowing what's going to happen, which is what a marriage is, we cause ourselves endless suffering and difficulty by the idea that we're things. Because, and this is what I think Neil writes so beautifully about, because once I'm a thing and the other person is a thing, which is, I think, how we so often experience ourselves without even knowing that we're coming at life this way, then you have to be the right kind of thing for me. You have to be the thing that fits all of my holes so that together we make a perfect something in which there'll never be trouble or surprise or difficulty. And every time you fall short of fitting me perfectly so that I feel just the way that I want to feel all the time, that's the time at which I have to get distressed or try and fix something. That's the time at which I have to go, something's going wrong. So we demand of things, it seems reasonable to demand of things, like if I have a chair, I want to, it's a reasonable expectation that when I sit on it, it will support me and not break. But that's not what humans are like. We're flowing things, we're changing all the time. And it's the only way I can think that a commitment such as a marriage can make any sense, is that we have to be committed to being in contact with another process, with another kind of change. We have to bring our endless kind of change into contact with the other endless kind of change that is inevitably going to be. And that's the only way we can navigate it, because even if other people didn't have all these strange things like moods that sweep through them, or changes in ideas, or days of despair and days of joy, or the mysteriousness of people, even if we didn't have that, we're going to grow old. And we're going to get sick, and like change is coming regardless. So it can't possibly be that when we enter into a relationship with someone that it can work if the deal is that you have to be the product that meets my needs. It's impossible. So this is why I'm so moved by what's in the middle lines, because this has been something that just is continually surprising me in my own long now marriage, is to be with someone who knows my worst self, and somehow mysteriously, inexplicably, doesn't want to rescue me, and who isn't going to send for the army. I love this. It's a real surprise for me, Lizzie. So when Davina, who you know, who I'm married to, doesn't try to rescue me or herself when I'm just human and confusing and self-centered and blind to things and forget things and messy and all of that, that nobody sends in the cavalry. What a relief it is to be in life in that way with other humans, because mostly we're just trying to, shows me just in reading it how much we're trying to do this often with everyone, That wasn't quite right. Somebody bring in the cavalry. Somebody rescue me from this. And I suppose what we have to do is give up rescue in order for this to have any chance. And then to wonder about, well, if we're not rescuing, what else are we doing?
Yeah, I think that's really beautiful, Justin, and what a gift that you really don't feel rescued. You know, you're in a place in your relationship where that's possible. And I think so many of us are, like you're saying, trying to do this all the time for one another. You know, that oh, there's something wrong, I have to do something. There's something wrong, I have to fix this. There's something wrong with the person in front of me, I have to fix them. And you said before that, you know, being in relationship is a process. And how different it is to receive our relationships as a process rather than as something to be corrected or fixed or changed by something we do. I mean, it's a kind of a, I think so far the evidence in my life has shown me that to try and fix and change people always ends up really badly. But also it hasn't stopped me trying. Hasn't stopped me trying to want to make things better for people or do something that takes the pain away. I have that feeling loads. You know, I have a story where I feel like I would rather experience it than the person experiencing it themselves. And so I try and do things to rescue, to fix, to make things okay for other people. And of course, there's a big part of me that's also dancing in a process with all of my relationships too. But I notice that part of me that just goes, oh, well, I'll have it. I'll have the pain. I'll have the difficulty. Just give it to me. I'll take responsibility for that, because it's way easier that way than me witnessing your suffering. And I feel like Neil's writing is inviting us into questioning ourselves on all of that and allowing ourselves to be the gift of the non-rescuer, because implicit in not rescuing is that you're fine and there's nothing devastatingly wrong with you, therefore I haven't got a call in the army, which is a massive gift to give someone, just to let them be where they are and interestingly, I mean, I know that we're both living in the land of England, and it just reminds me of what a cup of tea does. You know, like when there's something really, really tricky going on and something really difficult and there's no fixing it and there's a cup of tea. Like, the cup of tea is not going to fix it, but it's an act of, a potential act of love, of being with, to have a cup of tea and to be together in something and sit and drink a cup of tea that's been made with warm water, hot water, and few little simple elements go into it, and we can sit and be together. And maybe that's a gift that we have for one another, is to just simply make each other cups of tea and be together in our lives as process, rather than, right, we're going to make all this fine now by doing this, this, and this. Implicit in which is there something wrong? You know, how do we learn to be in the process, to consider ourselves and other people a process, so that we can be with and be present to and not shy away and not try and alter things so that they're better for me or for you? Better, you know, like how do we be with more, just the way that it is, and implicitly saying, this is life. This is okay. Yes, there are beasts, as Neil says. There are difficulties, there's trials. And right here is our humanity and our togetherness. And our being together could be just what's needed here.
See, your microphone is brushing against your long hair. Just, you know, just a little bit, yeah.
Thank you.
I was thinking as you were speaking, Lizzie, how what Neil's invitation has us do, and I think this is as true for being married to someone as it is to being committed to a friendship or being a parent or, you know, any of these. Any time that we want to realize the possibilities of being in something with others over the long term is that we have to give up the myth, the fantasy of completion. We have to really give up on the idea that your presence will somehow make me okay. Because once we're into that, we have to be, this is the unrealism of it, then we have to get super sensitive all the time to, oh no, what you just did makes me not okay. You didn't meet me quite perfectly. You didn't. And then we're tightly holding on all the time to a standard that can't be met because, firstly, because the other person is an unfolding something, a process. Yeah, process is such a good word, but it's an inadequate word because a process can sound like, you know, like a wheel going round and round and round and round the same. A process, you know, it's more like a river or something or a waterfall. So the first thing is that the other person is like that. So as soon as we demand that somebody just complete me in every moment, we've completely misunderstood the nature of another. But the second thing is that I'm one of those too. So how could anyone possibly complete me in that way? Because I'm changing all the time. And it's such a tragedy, I think, that we have a kind of so easily a consumer orientation to our relationships to other people, which is essentially is I'll get what I want. You know, I'm paying all this time or attention or whatever, and that entitles me to get exactly what I want. Instead of, it's so unkind to all of us. Instead of this that Neil says, because we're in the middle of the darkness and we don't ever know for certain if someone else is even there. And the one thing we can learn to do for one another is to learn how to uniquely reach out a hand to meet the hand of the other. And even that is not something we know how to do until we start to practice reaching out a hand, and it's something that will change as the hand of the other changes. So I think we're talking here about something we've talked about so many times, which is in a way a reorientation of what it is to be a human, from which our understanding of what it is to be with other humans can change. And giving up our demand that everything works out the way just that we want it, which was always an unreasonable demand anyway.
Yeah, totally. And just the invitation to that I think Neil also makes around learning. Like no one else has done this before. This thing, this marriage, this relationship, this friendship, this parenting between mother and daughter or father and son or father and daughter or grandparent and grandchild, that everything to do with human relationship is about learning because it's not been done before like this. There's hundreds and thousands of them, but nothing is the same because this is unique. This is itself, and a self is just that. The relationships ourselves that need attending to in the particular way that they need attending to. And so nobody else's love, nobody else's marriage is like yours. It's just true, isn't it? Like you can feel it instantly. It's like, oh yeah, it's a unique thing. No one has the same difficulties as this, and nobody has the same joys as this. And there may be themes that are common, but there's so much that's also unique about it as well. And so to be taught how to do it feels like it's missing. And yes, it is missing. And we're learning all the time, and to give ourselves the space to be learners in our marriages, in our friendships, and to wonder what it is to be a learner inside of a relationship rather than I should know what I'm doing. I should have a way of working with this. I'm failing. it's different than that. The nature of the thing is different than a success or a failure. It's an unfolding river, a flowing river, an unfolding growing tree, a blossoming flower, an unfurling set of petals in a rose, the timing of which you can't push, the nature of which you can't determine. And it just feels like a real acknowledgement of what's true in these kinds of relationships. And then I feel like, oh, well, now I can participate rather than, oh God, I'm doing all this wrong and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm flailing around. It just feels like a big invitation to be with the nature of a relationship in the right way, with everything that Neil says, and I so appreciate that.
Striking me, Lizzie, that one of the, well, this has been the time that's been most difficult for me, is how quickly I can get into there's something wrong with me when in my own relationships, in my own marriage, when I feel ashamed or angry, or when I've been insensitive and I've been caught out for being insensitive, or when I've not been paying attention, that the mistake is to, all the times that I've felt like something was going really badly wrong, when I look at them, have been times when I've been feeling something super intense that usually has a huge amount of judgment and criticism, and usually self-judgment and self-criticism. And a big part of the self-judgment and self-criticism is, I am wrong for this. This is wrong because I'm feeling all of this pain. And what I'm learning mostly, because I'm fortunate enough to be in a relationship with someone who can teach me this, is exactly this line that we were talking about before, about nothing needs rescuing then, because all there is learning. When I let myself go, oh, I really am a beginner. I'm a beginner in what's beginning now. Then I don't have to worry about how it's going to work out, because I get that our move every time is to begin again and to begin again and to begin again. It sounds really easy. It's complex and painful and disorientating, as well as joyful and surprising and exhilarating. It's all of those things. And mostly what it takes is allowing, at least what I can see, is allowing myself to say, to trust the path, to trust the unknowability of it all. Oh, this is what it feels like to not know.
I love that, Justin. I was looking at our time as well and feeling like, what a lovely note to end on, the trusting that it's a path and being a beginner, and how beautiful that that permission to be a beginner could be granted in the midst of something so important where we think we should have it all sorted out. And to let our partners, our friends, everybody be a beginner and to be a learner in all of this complex relationship stuff is such a liberating thing to feel. And I'm just grateful to Neil for articulating this so beautifully, probably on the back of an envelope or something, because he's such a talented man. And I'm grateful for you, Justin, as well, just that we can be in these conversations and just bring light to things that are happening in our lives. And every time we have these conversations, I wonder about the, you know, this is opportunity, each week is an opportunity to speak about something different that we're experiencing in our lives that might never otherwise not see the light of day in terms of a conversation. It's really beautiful. So thank you so much, everyone, for being with us, for allowing all these different themes to be here. And we are so grateful and up for this every time. I can feel the energy just of me wanting to be here and I'm really grateful that this is what it inspires in me, just to keep talking and to keep being in conversation. And thank you, Justin, for your ever openness in all of the sources that I bring as well, and your willingness to talk about anything. I'm really grateful.
Yeah, I'm grateful to you too, Lizzie. Happy to talk about anything. I want to just say to end to everyone that if you fancy coming to learn with us, then on the 25th and 26th of November 2019, so just over a month and a half from now, I'm going to be leading our 2-day Foundations of Integral Development Coaching program here in London. It would be wonderful to have you join us. So many people have come into this, and we get to meet in person and have the joy of learning together because they heard about it on Turning Towards Life. So I'm going to say that for now. And Lizzie, thank you.
And thank you.
All being well, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.